Hello, everyone. Let's get going. Today is Q&A day, which means y'all get to ask me questions, all kinds of things. I'm also going to be teaching a little bit first thing this morning. We are going to be talking about the 24-hour plan all month long. This is our month where we're going to really focus on it. We're going to clear up a lot of confusion around the 24-hour plan. We're going to overcome a lot of our fears around making plans. So everything this month inside of No BS that we're doing outside of the No BS weight loss course will be taking that deep dive into the 24-hour plan, especially for those of you who are afraid to make a plan. This is going to be a great month for you. So I'm going to do a few announcements and then we'll get started. I'm going to bring Coach Judith up on stage. Betsy will be in the chat. So we have Coach Judith and Coach Betsy. You can pop questions into the Q&A box and I will answer some. Judith will answer some. We're just going to be everywhere this morning for all of you. All right. As we get started, very first thing is the Drop It Like It's Hot challenge is completely finished. All of the survey results are in, all of the entries for the free prizes. This is how much weight everyone donated to me this month for my birthday in July. 3,523 pounds, which is amazing. And that's just the people that decided to like take the time to tell us about it. So I'm sure there was even more weight lost. Don't worry if you didn't get a chance to do the survey. That's fine. We've already closed it because, here's a note. They said, we lost an equal weight of a full-grown male giraffe, two bears, or three big-ass crocodiles. That's hilarious. All right. So we also had winners. So for all of you who took the time to submit like what you learned, what you got out of it, what you lost, all that kind of stuff, we have for the best accountability group, the winner is the Badass Babes. They met every week to discuss what was going right and what their challenges were. And member Deanne counted her bites behind all month. She left behind 350 bites in the total of July, losing 4.4 pounds. So all of you should be taking some notes about how the Badass Babes, how they run their shit. Best cheerleader went to Cammie Walker, which I think we will all agree. Miss Cammie is always in the group, always offering rock solid member advice. So we love Cammie. The winners of 3 months of membership. So if you are Pam Caraway, Lisa Dupuy, Gwen Bresco, Yasmin Elbaga, Jeanette Walpink. You just won 3 months of No BS membership for participating and donating pounds to Corinne. 6 months of membership goes to Kelly Lewis and Stephanie Mullen. And the grand prize winner of 1 year of No BS membership goes to Annabelle Thomas. So as we always do during challenges, we try to give out some fun prizes to make weight loss a little bit fun, a little bit more motivating. So I hope that July was just fun for all of you. It was fun for me watching everybody talk about like I left pounds and such country and like all the ways that y'all are clever about sharing your successes. So our team will reach out to anyone who won. So don't worry about that. We will also be, I believe we are going to, but we will just make sure we reach out to every single person that won. So if you want, if your friends are like, who won? Tell them to come watch this video. They can listen to the first 5 minutes and get filled in on all of the things. This month, it is now officially August. We are into the 24-hour planning deep dive course. This one I wrote after a long time of studying y'all. So I've always felt like we do a good job on teaching y'all planning, but as usual, there's still thoughts that come up. There's still lots of questions and things like that. So we decided to create a whole course just on how to dig into the 24-hour plan. This is not a planner course. We have, of course, all about our planner. This is more about digging into the mindset, the obstacles, the hesitations, what to do when you notice patterns. It's a lot more mindset and tactical ways to handle 24-hour planning. Because I really do believe that it is the, like, if I was going to rank all of the basics in order of what I think is important, so everyone pay attention. I've never said it this way. The very first one would be water. Water would always be the very first one that I would make sure that I'm nailing, because it controls cravings, urges, prevents you from being overly tired. So you may be tired, but you will be primal tired if you're dehydrated. It allows your reasoning brain, when you're hydrated, to be online more often. And what do we need when we want to overeat? What do we need when we're emotionally stressed? What do we need the most in the moments when the shit's hitting the fan? We need our reasoning brain to have enough energy to be utilized so that we're not just reacting. We're not just going with all of our old stories and our bullshit thinking. So if I had to take, if I was like, there's one that I think is important that could be a driving force for all the others, I really do believe hydration is it. Number two, in the order of importance, would be, am I hungry? Have I had enough? Now, I almost put sleep in there, except this is the reason why sleep gets bumped down for me. Sometimes sleep is just not in our control. As a perimenopausal woman who shares the bed with a snorer and has cats that love to paw on the door and a bladder that just won't quit at 3 a.m., I can just say that even with my best intentions, there are lots of days where I do not get good quality sleep. I remember the days when Logan was waking up five times a night. Didn't matter what time I put myself to bed. What mattered was that baby was crying and my ass had to get on in there and take care of some business. So if you can prioritize sleep, it's like a close second to water. But I also know that's one of the ones that we're not always in total control over. We don't want to have shitty thoughts about it. We don't want to eat over it. We don't want to sit there and say, this is why I can't lose weight. We're not going to sit there and be a titty baby about it. We're going to be a grown-ass woman. And on the days that we don't get our sleep, we're going to be more aware of our hunger and our enough. So that's why hunger and enough come in at number two. Hunger enough helps you be intentional about your eating. It asks you to pay attention in the moments you don't want to. Hunger and enough is one of those things where I think y'all bastardize it a little bit. Y'all think like the moment you hear those two questions, like now I got to be perfect about it. No, the goal is not to be perfect about waiting for hunger and to be perfect about stopping it enough. The goal is to get really good at knowing when you're not doing it and when you are. Like step one is always, for those of you who are super intentional, you raise the stakes on being able to stop eating when you don't need food. It's the ones who aren't using the questions at all. Because I just want y'all to think about this. The ones who are not using the questions at all, they might have no hope of making a better choice. They've taken choice off the table. And the other thing that's really important about those two is that when you notice you're eating when you're not hungry, but you're still asking the question, when you track all of the times that you overeat past enough, because you're still asking the question, you reveal the exact things that you need to study more of inside of No BS. So if you're asking the questions, you're gaining knowledge. So if you're asking the questions and you eat past enough and you notice you beat the shit out of yourself, you just got some knowledge. I need to work on the relationship with myself after an overeat so I can move to the stage where I have an overeat and now I'm breaking down the process. Now I'm looking for like, how do I manage my emotions better? I'm learning all of that. So those come in second. Third would be planning. I'm only going to rate sleep last simply because it is the one I think we have the least amount of total control over. Even though, like, but I keep saying this over and over again. Do not hear this and just be like, see, I'm screwed. Know that in the times when you can't control the sleep, you have to ask yourself, what else can I control? And then there are some of you who are just not prioritizing sleep. You're just like, I'm just a night owl. Nobody is just a night owl. There was not one single no BS woman that can beat Chris Crabtree in night owl syndrome. Not a soul. My husband, when we met, he didn't even go to work until 5 o'clock by choice. He liked to work at 5 p.m. until 10 a.m. the next morning. That was when he worked because he could hit morning meetings and then the rest of the day he'd sleep and then he'd go right back into work so that he could work when nobody else was there. And he did that forever. And so like when we dated, guess when we dated? When he was ready for dinner at 9:30 at night. Now, let me just say, Corinne Wright back in the day, she gladly met him. She was just like, oh, Chris Crabtree, I'm going to go to Old Charlie's with you. I'll stay up late. I sacrificed my sleep for that bastard, not him. Now, if he is awake at 8 o'clock at night, you would blow me over with a feather. That little shit likes to go to bed at 8 o'clock just like me, and he likes to get up at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. So if he can change, so can you. All right. So 24-hour planning is what we're going to study this month. Because I think it's really important. It allows you to make decisions ahead of time. It allows you to start uncovering lots of patterns. A lot of y'all quit planning because you're sitting there like, well, I quit planning because I wasn't following it. It's like, well, bitch, what do you think's going to happen if you don't keep making plans? You ain't never going to follow nothing if you don't have a plan. How about we keep planning and learn why we aren't following it and get better at that than to be like, well, let me just quit this. And then sit around and wonder why the fuck I can't lose no weight. We're not in the game of wandering around here. We're in the game of figuring out our shit. So making a daily plan is important. Now, here's what I know. A lot of y'all are just like, Corinne, when I look at your planner, my brain just flips its wig. It is like, that's a lot of questions. I ain't got time for this. You know, I ain't deep. I don't know what my worth is. I've never had to do thought work. Who knows what my goals are? I'm not a goal getter. Like, y'all got every fucking excuse in the book to not work on shit that's going to make you feel better. So number one, all those things you're bitching about, you're like, I don't know my worth. So here's what I'll do. I'll quit asking the question and sit around and continue to think I'm unworthy. Y'all, do y'all notice the bullshit of which that is? It's like, how about every day? Here's what I'd rather do. I'd rather face a question like my worth. And every day feel dumb because I don't know the answer. And then feel forced to try to dig one up, than to sit around and be like, well, I don't really get this worthy question. So I'm just going to sit around and feel unworthy for the rest of my life. That ain't no good trade. Here's what we got to do. Sometimes you might need to feel stupid. Sometimes you might need to feel dumb. Sometimes you might need to feel those things while you're figuring out your self-worth. Then what happens is you realize you were never dumb and you were never clueless and you were never ignorant. You realize when you build your self-worth up eventually, none of that was ever true. You're like, oh yeah, that was just the way I was thinking about myself. Huh. I want a better version of you. Not because today's version is broken, but because most of us are walking through life not even experiencing our own greatness. We're not experiencing our successes. We're not experiencing what's good in our life. We are just blowing right past all that, focused on what's wrong with us, focused on what we need to do next, focusing on how busy we are. And we don't take the time to think about any of the good stuff. So when you're using the big planner, its job is to help you start thinking about something else other than your shit. So when you think like you ain't got time, it's like, so what do you not got time for? Exploring what's important to for yourself each day, exploring your worth, what you like about you, what you're proud of. what obstacles are going to come up and how you might could solve them instead of just reacting to them with food. But I'm an understanding woman. Here I am, benevolent as fuck. We have created a boilerplate version of the planner. So for all of you who are just like, I don't give a shit what you just said, Corinne. You just don't know me. I'm too triggered. I'm too activated. Can't even look at your planner. I want to just burn it in my backyard. All right. I made you a one pager. A one pager. All you got to do is fill that out each day. It ain't got no thought work on it. The only thing I'm asking you to do is write your food down ahead of time. What might get in your way and what the fuck can you do about it? And then whatever you eat, you just put it next to them in the square. This is what I actually did. That's all we're going to do this month for all of you who need like a basic beginner primer to journaling. I want you in the habit of thinking about your food ahead of time. And all month long, we're going to explore all the ways that you can do it. For some of you who are like, what happens if I want something else at night? Here's what you're going to do. Put down three or four choices at night. But you're going to have to, at some point, give yourself a guardrail. So if you need four choices to pick from, do that so that you at least are thinking about your shit at night instead of just rolling in and being like, I don't want that. Because most of you, what you do at night, you stand in front of the fridge after a long ass day, there's vomit on the floor, you got shit to, like, you got meetings tomorrow that you're already dreading, and you're taking all of that version of you, the one who's tired, annoyed, and dreading, and you're like, and what should I eat? What do you think your brain's going to offer you? Pizza and ding dongs. It's going to offer you anything, but it's going to tell you about like, well, you know, you're so spontaneous. You know, you shouldn't be locked down to some kind of plan. It's like, I shouldn't be locked down to a plan I chose myself, thinking about what I want for my life. We need to correct our brain sometimes. For all you rebels without a cause up there at your dinner, ain't nobody making you eat your plan. You ain't no rebel because you break your plan. You know what you are? You're someone who says, my best self sucks. This ain't rebelling. Your mama is not the one who made your 24-hour plan in the morning. It was you. Nobody's telling you what to eat. You ain't got to do anything. You don't have to eat anything. So all of that shit y'all talk about at night, about being a rebel, it's all lies. And when you hear that shit going on in your brain, you know what you need to say? Book of lies. I made this plan. If I'm going to rebel, how about, like, for all you rebels, it always starts this way. Well, you know me, when I was like 16, my mama said I couldn't eat things. She said I was fat. I was going to have to like cut out all the things. She put me on a diet. You know, she dragged me to the Weight Watchers at 12 years old. So today at 53, fuck her at dinner. I'm going to eat what I want. That is not rebelling against your mother. That's telling yourself a lie. You made that plan. If you don't want to eat it, just be honest. Just say, I don't have to eat this. I choose to break my plan. Like, if you're going to break it, at least tell the truth and tell it in a way where you don't feel good about it. Sitting around going like, nobody can tell me what to do. I'm just going to eat what I want. That's not a habit we want to create. That is not a thought pattern we need. You know what we need to do in that moment? We need to say, my best self planned this. She knew what the fuck I wanted for my life. And right now, I am not going to do what my best self says. That's on me. That's my choice. That has nothing to do with my bitch ass mother who put me on a diet at 16. No one's taking food away from me anymore. If I want something so bad, I probably can like saunter my ass and go get it. And I got plenty of proof that I can do that. How many times have I been to the convenience store, the grocery store, and the McDonald's to go get whatever the fuck I wanted to eat? So there ain't no have to. There ain't no deprivation and there ain't no restriction. I either choose to do it or I don't. And when y'all get real honest with yourselves about this stuff, you will notice you will make different choices. So I had not planned on saying all that and just saying I have totally gone off the script. I'm sure my team is like, I don't see any of that in the notes that we sent you. So, but we need to hear the shit, y'all. So the whole month is going to probably be me ranting, sweating, and going off the cuff as to why we need the 24-hour plan. It is not shackles. It is not a burden. It is a way for you to start deciding the best life you want for yourself. Do you want to keep going through life every day wondering when you're going to get your shit together? Hoping you follow your plan. Changing things up, all having to use all that mental energy. Changing things up all the time. Worrying you're getting it wrong. Worrying the next day, did that change make the scale go up? Regretting that you did it. Like, y'all get so hosed up thinking that, like, oh, planning's the hard thing. Planning's not the hard part. The life without your plan probably is the hard part. But you got to think about it like that, or you'll never give yourself an incentive to start doing it. All right. So this week, or what you all need to do is I reshot all the videos. Well, there weren't. This is actually a brand new course. Never mind. I didn't reshoot any videos. This is a brand new course that I wrote. Everything is new. You get the one line planner page and there's a guide. So if you go to the website, go to our homepage and then look under self-study resources, you will find the 24-hour planning deep dive course there for you with videos and we're going to be talking about it all month long. We also had 20 more people join the Queen's Club this week, and new member or new Queen's Club member, Stacy Gibson said, I love being a no BS woman because I have grown significantly as an individual by changing my thinking. I have a higher regard for myself and I'm learning to love myself through the process of my physical, but more importantly, my mental transformation. That is really key because one of the reasons why I yell at y'all, one of the reasons why I rant, you know, when I give y'all love and coaching, whichever version of me that shows up for the day, I am not satisfied with y'all just losing weight. If you're going to lose weight and still be insecure, still be afraid of food, still be sitting like every night trying to make yourself eat things against your own will, like no one needs that. We want to transform mentally. I want you to fall in love with your lifestyle. I want you to learn how to start loving your body from the moment you start. Even if you don't love its appearance, do you love your body enough to tell it, I know you want more energy and you deserve more energy. So for today, I'm going to hydrate and I'm going to eat like someone who wants that kind of energy. Instead of, you fat fuck, you know, you better do good today. You better lose some weight or you're always going to be miserable. That's not loving the process. That's not losing from love. A lot of times when we talk about loving your body, I know for me, I would have given anything if I'd had a me back in the day. I was in so much pain over my body for years. Like it was like, you got to think about, I grew up in the 80s and the 90s. No one thought about loving their body if it was overweight. I was still one of the few kids that was even overweight. So I stuck out like a sore thumb all the time. I would have given anything, at least in my 20s, if somebody had told me how to be nice to myself, despite my size. Because I don't think there's anything wrong with going after weight loss. But where we bastardize it is when we're going after it because we hate ourselves. We don't like ourselves. Or we think, like, even if you're not in total self-loathing, you're just in a perpetual state of just not feeling good enough. You know, that sucks. I will just tell you, as someone who has done the rainbow of bullshit when it comes to mental, I have been in self-loathing land, self-hatred land, hated myself for a long time. Then I just went through the years where I didn't really hate myself. I just was very insecure. I didn't like myself. I just found lots of flaws. Then I kind of leveled up to like, you know, some stuff's all right, but you're probably never going to be good enough. Like, I went through a long period of just not being good enough. And I will tell you, if you learn how to go from hatred to not good enough, it feels amazing. You don't even realize you have a problem. Until about 3 years ago, I didn't even know that. Y'all, you got to think about this. I have been teaching since 2007. And it wasn't until about 2 to 3 years ago that I didn't even realize that I was living in a state of just not being good enough. But it was so much better than self-hatred that I thought I had arrived. But I was never proud of myself. As many accolades as I get, nothing was good enough. It was always, thank God I did this. I got to keep doing things to prove that I'm okay. It's a painful place to be. And a lot of us don't even know we're there. We're so used to it. So the reason why I tell you all this is because when we talk this month about doing our plan, and we're going to get really focused on more weight loss, building off of last month's challenge, I don't want anybody continuing to lose weight from not being good enough. I want you to lose weight because you want different things for you, and that you have the capacity to right now figure out, what am I already good at? What are the things I'm missing in my life right now? Because I really believe that the more we turn the volume up on that stuff, so much of our overeating can go down without us having to suffer through urges. That's why the mental transformation is so important to give to you, not just a physical transformation. So, speaking of physical transformations, we also had two people join the Century Club, Darby Brennan and Sarah Linemeyer. So welcome to the Century Club. Please make sure that you all give them a round of applause. I don't even know how many people we have in the Century Club now. Every week, someone hits the 100-pound market these days. It is amazing to me. It never gets old. It never gets tiring. And I just applaud all of you, because I know that losing 100 pounds, losing any weight, is something we should all marvel at. But for me, it's extra special just because I lost 100 pounds, and it taps on the transformation that I personally have when I hear it. So it never gets old to hear people are in Century. All right. So this month, as I've said, we're focusing on the 24-hour plan. The goal is very simple this month. Everyone makes a plan every single day, whether you want to or not, whether you have time or not. If it's 8 o'clock at night and you hadn't made a plan for the day, then write down, get that piece of paper out, write down everything you did eat for the day. I want y'all to get in the habit of making a plan every single day. And the important part of it is, we will work on your mindset around it all month long. I will get you buy-in all month long. But in the beginning, some of you, you're just going to have to say, I'm doing it. I'm going to trust Corinne that if I make plans for the entire month, some good will come out of it. I'll either lose some weight or I'll set myself up next month. So next month, we're going to do Urges 2.0. We are refreshing the content and we're going to do it. But if you want Urges 2.0 to take you to another level, you need 30 days of plans with data at the end. Set yourself up for success next month by doing this. So make sure that in the beginning, if you don't feel like it, you need to tell your brain, it doesn't matter if I feel like it. I'm going to do it because I feel like it could make a difference. I'm going to do it because I feel like Corinne wouldn't steer me wrong. I got my reasons why I don't like it. I got my reasons why I think it's hard and stuff, but they're no longer excuses that are good enough to keep me from figuring out my shit. Some of y'all are just going to have to quit diddling in your excuses. That's just the way we're going to have to roll. So there are 7 lessons. They are less than an hour long in total, and they will kick you in the ass. And I love them. All right. Here's a few questions that people have already been asking. Where do you find it? If you want the bottom line page, that's the bottom line planning page where, like, let's say you're like, I want to set aside the planner. I want to use this one page this month. If you go to the planner page or the 24-hour deep dive homepage, we put it in both places for you to make it easy. Where do I put what I ate? So you're going to plan what you want to eat, and then you're going to plan what you actually ate. You just write it next in the block. That's all you got to do is just write it right next to it. We just wanted to keep it butt ass simple to get this done. And then when do you graduate to the regular planner? So only when you're ready. So for some of y'all, you may want to use this for a while, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with using this planning page. The only thing that's wrong is not planning at all and hoping for the best. It just usually doesn't work. Trust me, the people that lose weight inside of No BS will almost always are consistent planners. It makes their life easier once they get used to it. But the mindset work does happen inside the bigger planner. So when you feel like you're ready to like dive into the mindset work, that's a great time to graduate to the big planner. All right. If you're afraid of planning and you have shitty thoughts about it that you need to do, run it through the 4 ends. First, you're going to just notice the thoughts. And I want you to ask yourself a few times to get deeper. A lot of you will just say, I don't like planning. I just don't like it. But we need to know why. It's not enough to just know that it's like, you need to understand, well, why don't I like it? What's going on in my mind that makes me not like it? And then that way, when you see those thoughts, you can challenge each one. Like, is it really true? Is it really true that I'm just spontaneous? It's like, maybe. So if you are spontaneous, how do you add spontaneity to your plan? Rather than just being like, I'm not planning at all, it's like, solve the problem. I don't like being limited to one choice. All right. Why? Because I won't get what I want. Is that really true? If you're writing your food down each day, isn't at some point that's what you wanted? When you ask those questions, it allows you to get some feedback from yourself on what's happening. So notice if you have thoughts like, I won't do it right. I won't follow it. I won't lose weight doing this. You probably have been taught by the diet industry forever. All kinds of either or, like, I won't do it right, or I either have to do it right or I do it wrong. That's not true with the planner. You put food down every day, and our goal is to learn over time what foods we do want to plan. Our goal over time is to figure out what we do want. Judith, I'm going to pull you up. I didn't realize it hadn't promoted you. There we go. Because I was like, well, why ain't she answering these questions? I'll get those since you won't be able to see them. So we just want to make sure that we're understanding our reasons and just know it's normal. If you've been on really restrictive diets in the past where they gave you a very restrictive meal plan, your brain might be throwing up, well, I don't like planning, out of a trauma response from past diets. That's good to know. So that you can tell yourself, this is a different kind of planning. There's no restriction on this planning. There's no deprivation with this planning. The goal of this planning is to learn to stop doing those kinds of plans. And by consistently doing plans, I will learn that. And then also, just like I said earlier, you don't got to be in love with planning to do it. You need to see its value and its worth. There's a lot of things I don't love doing, but I do it because it's valuable. Like, for instance, in business, in this business, I write, so every video that you watch where I'm teaching, I have to write all of those scripts. I'm just going to tell you, I am really good at it. I think that I write amazing content. I don't know. I just feel like I am a great teacher. Even when I was a little girl, I used to make my brother play teacher. I'd make him sit in a school desk and I would sit there and teach bullshit, you know. But I hate writing scripts. It is a grind. It is mentally taxing. I don't like doing it, but I do it because I see its value and its worth. I do it because I understand how it helps me and it helps you. So very often, I think y'all get confused on, like, I need to love something, be motivated or excited before I do it. You don't need any of those feelings. It's great when those things happen. Over time, you might get there. But like, in the beginning, most of the time we got to feel willing, and we need to think about it in such a way that it's like, all right, as much as I dislike it, the value outweighs that. So you need to come up with, how much value can I put on the 24-hour plan if I'm just not liking it? It's like, who cares? It's just like all those scripts I always tell myself when I'm like, because I got a bunch more to do today after I get done with all my calls. I always tell myself, you know what? You don't like doing the work right now, but when it's done, you will love that it's over. You will love what you wrote. You will be so proud. I always tell myself, you'll be so proud of your work. You will, like, girl, like, the motivation, the like, the love, that comes after the fact. Right now, you just need to quit bitching and get started. And I do that a lot in life. Let's see. The last thing is, don't let perfectionism get in the way of building a habit that works. So break down the plan into small pieces if you need to. So we took the big planner, we broke it down into a small piece for you. If you need to break it down even smaller, say like, all right, week one of August, I'm going to plan my breakfast. Even if it's the same thing every day, I'm going to get in the habit of just getting the piece of paper out, writing it down, and answering the questions. Week two, we start with lunch. We have breakfast going and now lunch. Week three, it's dinner. So that week four, I'm like in a role of practicing all of it. So break it down to wherever you need so that you're not letting perfectionism get in the way of taking some action. All right. There's also two things I want you to do. Just make sure you're planning every day for this month. That's the goal for all of us. From August 3rd until the end of the month, everyone makes a 24-hour plan. Please feel free to share them either in the main Facebook group. You can share them in the subgroups. One of the things that the 55 Plus does, Ginger starts it every day. She is a baller. If you're in the 55 Plus group, I know you love Ginger. So she every day starts the day with posting the plan, and there's like usually 50 or 60 of them that they reply with their plans and their thoughts for the day. They're like a big old giant accountability group for each other when it comes to planning. Y'all can do the same thing in your subgroups. If you're in, let's say, the 100 pounds to lose group, say like, hey, I'm going to post my plan every single day. Who wants to join me? Just reply to my thread. I will be here every day. That is a way to raise the level of accountability for yourself while also helping other people who it's hard for them to jump in. You make it a little bit easier on them. And then the last thing is, there is a worksheet inside your guide called Are My Plans Truly Doable? Because a lot of y'all are making what you call perfect plans, what you should be eating plans, the shouldable plan. It's like, let's go with doable. Let's just try it the way good old Corinne intended it. So that worksheet will help you figure out how to get dialed into what you need to make your plans easier for you to follow. And then if you want, You can post your worksheets inside the Facebook group, get feedback from all your peers and stuff. That is why we build a community for all of you, is so that you can get the wisdom of the people who are a little bit ahead of you, and that you can inspire the ones who are a little bit behind you. All right, let's go to questions. No, not shouldable plan, a shouldable. I was trying to say should and shouldable. So I'm trying to make up a new word over here, Coach Bessie. Ever since I joined in March, I've been working on snacking, and more specifically snacking on nuts, sometimes eliminating nuts, sometimes including them as snacks, and trying to control my overeat sometimes, but not often successful. This week, I realized I make eating nuts fun and sexy and eating them as snacks, and that has made giving up snacks especially difficult. This week, I had the idea that maybe if I included nuts as part of meals and made snacks more boring, hard-boiled eggs, I might get some traction. I'm wondering what you advise. So this is interesting. I would honestly, Vivian, I would take this over to Ask Coaches and do the think, feel, do cycle you have around. So here's how I would do it. I would do a think, feel, do cycle around like nuts and what your thoughts are about nuts and how they make you feel. And then what you do when you're thinking that way about nuts. Nuts is a snack. Because right now, one thing you haven't really addressed is, are you hungry for your snack? Like that, like what's hilarious is I'm working on snacking and you're doing a lot of work on your relationship around nuts and hard-boiled eggs, but we haven't done any work on the relationship you have with your belly yet. So like knowing, first of all, am I actually hungry? If I'm actually hungry, then I'm just eating snacks to avoid something. Or if I'm not hungry. If you're actually hungry, then yeah, now we want to work on like eating enough, like just enough nuts to make sure that you address the hunger and no more. And so if you've uncovered that you make them sexy, you got to make them unsexy. They're just nuts. It's not like they're the Chippendales and they're like busting out of a bag ready to entertain you and make you holler for a dollar. Like you need to like make them very boring. We want to make sure that we talk about them like, you know, these are nuts. It's time to snack. I'm feeling hunger. And then you listen, but before you eat them, I'd probably take like a 3-minute pause and then listen for everything that you think. Like, get to know what the sexy talk about them is. Like, do you think like, ooh, they taste so good. A few more won't hurt. Like, what's going on there so that you can like notice those thoughts and just tell yourself, well, a few more do hurt. They're not part of the plan. They hurt my next meal because then they're probably going to set me up to not be real hungry for the next meal that I'm probably going to want to enjoy and be hungry for. So allowing yourself to have all of that dialogue, you can always like, I mean, sometimes subbing out like a hard-boiled egg or like I've done this before when it comes to nuts. We like this one point I had tried everything I could think of, but it was just like every day I was still sitting down with a can of nuts. And so I finally was just like, all right, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell Chris, get the nuts out of the house. Not because I like, this is the difference. I knew that I was just eating them every day and that I tried lots of different things and that nothing that like my urge was greater than my capacity to stop myself. And I was like, all right, if that's where just where I'm at right now, I want to take the stimulus out because what's going to happen is at that time of day, I'm going to be wanting to eat. But now I'm not going to have the food to respond with. So that's going to like in that moment, rather than just being like, oh, I don't have nuts and whining. I would just like, I'm purposely throwing myself into urges without the ability to take action on them so that I have to process the urge. Now, this does not work if you're not going to process the urge. Processing the urge means you literally sit there. And the first thing you do is you're like, all right, I'm thinking about food. I'm wanting food. I know I'm not hungry. What is going on in my body? This is the now process. So I would sit and I would just go through my body and be like, the only thing that's happening right now is I have a lot of thoughts about wanting to eat. I know I'm not hungry. My mouth is watering. My chest is beating. And then I would like let that pass. I'd go about my business. And then about 3 minutes later, guess what? Maybe we should run to the store and get some nuts. I wonder what else you got in there. But I purposely had set it up to where there were only like, there were options I wouldn't choose. And this is important. There were options I wouldn't choose, which would make me realize if I wasn't going to choose, let's say broccoli, then I need to teach myself not to choose nuts on those days either. And that is just because I'm thinking differently about broccoli and nuts. So what am I thinking about when it comes to broccoli? I don't want that. That doesn't taste good. That won't satisfy me. I don't really want that. So now how do I start teaching myself those thoughts are also true about nuts? I don't really want that because I'm trying to lose weight. Like, it doesn't taste good. I would tell myself about nuts, it tastes good, but that's not the only thing that matters. It doesn't taste good after the fact when my mouth is full of regret. So we have to think about, like, this is where sometimes removing that stimulus is helpful because it makes you listen and pay attention. Now, some of y'all will be like, but isn't that just like restriction? It is restriction. You're restricting yourself from a food, not because you can't control yourself, but because you want to learn how to actually be in control of it. And the best way to learn how to be in control of it is to get authority over that urge, get the timing conditioning that goes off. You know, like for me, every night after dinner, it's been ages since I ate after dinner. And yet every single night, I still think like, ooh, let's get something else. It happens every fucking night. I have no clue when that's going to end. It doesn't go on and on and on all night long like it used to until I ate. Now it just happens and I'm just like, we're not eating. But that was because it took me a while. Restriction is not a bad thing. Now, if you're feeling restricted, that's going to be coming from a thought like, I can't have that or whatever. Restriction as an activity, like take nuts out of the house. Like my feeling, let's say we remove food out of the house, the feeling that precedes it never has anything to do with restriction. It feels more like a gift, an experiment. It feels smart. And it's because I'm not telling myself I can't control myself. I'm telling myself this will be a really good way for me to figure out what's really going on. Because if you just keep eating, sometimes it's hard to figure out what's really going on when you just keep eating. So sometimes removing some of it can be helpful. I've made a plan daily since day one of starting, even on vacation. My data tells me that one day weekly, I eat off plan. And when I do, I have fuck it eats, but I'm eating foods I'm typically planning. How can I follow my plan 100%? I don't really understand the question. So you're noticing one day a week, you eat off plan, and then you fuck it eat. So figure out if it's one specific day, like, is it a weekend day? Very often this happens. It's always on a Saturday or it's always on a Sunday. So there's one pattern to look for and figure out what makes that day different. Sometimes it could just be a buildup. So look at the other days, the ones where you are compliant. And for this next week, listen to how you are talking to yourself as you're following your plan. Sometimes what happens is we all want to have like a cheat day, a day off. We have this buildup. And a lot of it is like old conditioning. So we've done a lot of diets where there are tons of diets that basically have you be like good for a while. And then you have like a day. It's like, now just eat whatever you want. Now just do all this stuff. It is such bullshit conditioning because it, like, when you have a day that you're going to eat what you want, That means you have days you can't eat what you want. That's the problem in the thinking. That's why those diets set us up for so much future failure. So we have to be aware when those patterns are happening. And this is typically what happens. Through those diets, we end up doing this. I make my plan Monday through Friday. I'm following it. And every time I'm looking at my food going, this is what I have to eat. If I eat this, I'll be good. Like, we're telling ourselves stuff that is not helpful in the long run. It sounds innocent when you're saying it, but instead of saying, this is what I have to eat, and feeling a little bit more compelled, a little bit forced, those feelings, if you say, I get to eat this today. I'm so glad I planned this. I'm really looking forward to my lunch. I really like the way that I'm starting to plan foods and give myself what I need and stuff. When we talk about it like that, we feel a little excited. We feel grateful. We feel good. When you're feeling excited and grateful and good and things like, and you're seeing the benefit and all this other stuff, you don't have a day where you need to blow your wad. You don't need a break from feeling real good. We usually need a break or a day where we're going to fuck it eat when we feel like we've been trying to be good. And we're just like, I just want to relax a little. So look and see if prior to that, if you're creating unintended tension for yourself, like I'm trying to be good, trying to stay on plan, like walking a little tightrope here. It may not feel like a shrill yelling at you in the night. Like, it may not sound like your mother going, you need to eat that, or you're going to be like, it doesn't have to sound witchy. But sometimes what we do is we create a tension in the way that we talk to where all week long, we just got this low level tight feeling. We're not really excited about our plans, but we're willing. We are saying we have to eat this because we planned it, which makes us compliant, but we're not sitting there thinking about like, this is great. I actually like the food I'm planning. Like, I can't wait for my lunch today. Like, it's going to do these things for me. Like, when we learn to turn the volume up a little bit there, you just start noticing you don't have such a desire to just eat your face off all week long, all weekend, or for a day or whatever. Let's see. While working on the 24-hour plan deep dive, I'm working on Thoughts 2.0 as well. When I finish Thoughts 2.0, should I work on Urges 2.0 or should I wait for working on it next month? Once you work on Urges 2.0 next month so that you get the fresh material with us, Kim. So if you're going to do the 24-hour plan and deep dive and you're doing thought, here's what I would do. I would do Thoughts 2.0 and then don't just consume our regular coaching calls and just consume the Q&As. Don't start a whole nother course. Get out, like journal every day rather than putting more information in. So if you do Thoughts 2.0, then every day for a month, do a think, feel, do cycle. Like, write about something and then do a think, feel, do cycle. So if you go to the back of the big planner, there are all kinds of journal prompts in there. Pick a topic that would be helpful for you. And then spend every day writing about the question and then say like, all right, I'm going to do a think, feel, do cycle. And you may also plan once or twice a week to do the now process. Say like, all right, I'm going to put myself in a situation. I'm going to write about something that's painful. Or I'm going to write about something that I don't really love writing about. And then I'm going to do the now process, or I'm going to sit with one of my favorite foods that I very often tell myself I can't control myself around. I can't handle myself, like whatever. And I'm going to do the now process with it. I'm not going to eat it, but I'm going to put myself in urges way. And then I'm going to do the now process. I mean, you might do that once or twice a week to just build the skill up of the now process and feeling a feeling. In my journaling this week, I found out I had a thought about overeating and off-plan eating. I feel powerful and in control when I do that. I challenged the thoughts and ended with better thoughts. When I align with my goals and dreams, I am actually in control. Ooh, I love that. I check out when I overeat. This is not control. This is autopilot. I can be in control when I eat, and I can be in control when I don't eat. What are my next steps? Do I write about this every day? Do I write the new thoughts in my journal? I'd write the new thoughts in your journal every day. I'd probably just write at the top of like whatever thought feels clicky, like, ooh, this shifted me in my power. I would write it every day. Write that thought down every day. Why it feels true, why you love it, how you could see this working better for you. And then like the other things, like where you have the overeat, you might just write a simple, like 3 sentences. Here's why I was wrong about overeating. Like it's this, this, and this. But if you write it each day, it really helps you lock in and cement things in your head. One other thing that you can do is you can also visualize yourself. So you could visualize yourself wanting to overeat or in the process of overeating. So like you literally, you're just going to sit, you're take a few deep breaths, and then you get in your mind's eye, you witness yourself eating, overeating, wanting to overeat or something. And then like you try to generate that feeling. Like it doesn't have to be as intense as when you're actually doing it, but you want to see yourself do it. You really want to like create it. Then you want to watch yourself use your new sentence and see yourself like calming yourself down. Try to experience like, this is what it would be like if my body was calming down. If I was doing this, this is likely what's going to happen. When we do a mental rehearsal of something, your brain is weird. Whatever you imagine, it thinks has happened. It does. Your brain is not smart enough to know the difference between reality and false reality. Do you know how we all know this? How many of you still insist on keeping your foot on the bed just in case something underneath your bed is going to come out and grab it? Our minds, like they are all about bullshit. Like I will be in my bed. And if I wake up and my foot is off the bed, you better believe I'm getting it back under, because in my head, there's something hairy underneath there that's going to go like whoa, and grab me. That is such bullshit. There is nothing underneath our beds. And yet as a 48-year-old woman, I still will like to just in case I'm wrong. Our brains do a lot of that. So this is how they figured out that in visualization, that visualizing a fake ass scenario where you just like, imagine being hungry. You imagine having an urge. You imagine those nuts that we were talking about earlier. Like if you just visualize that and then you see yourself doing something different, your brain's like, oh yeah, like that happened. It's like giving it a dry run. So feel free to use that as a tool. All right. That's all the questions. Y'all have a good week. I will see y'all on Sunday for coaching. And get your plans going. Please do not forget, we are going to make 24-hour plans all month long. Bye, y'all.